High Stakes, a Good Omens podfic, written by Phoenix Saw and read by Trap. Being burned at a stake is mildly boring, Crowley finds. It wouldn't be for someone who was about to truly lose their life, she supposes, but in her case, Crowley is simply counting down the seconds until it's safe to stop time and miraculously escape. At least a half hour, Crowley had promised the girl, the one with hair as red as the demon's, who was actually sentenced to burn this morning. That is, until Crowley diverted the village folk's attention to herself instead, with a few dramatic displays of occult magic. Making those cows fly over the heads of swooning villagers will never not be a fantastic use of her powers, as far as Crowley is concerned. Now bound to the stake, Crowley had intended to give a rousing and appropriately fear-inducing speech to waste enough time for the girl to properly flee before the villagers noticed. But her executioner is doing a well enough job on his own, pompously listing out the endless sins Crowley is apparently guilty of to the cheers and jeers of the pitchfork-wielding crowd. One may assume that these so-called sins actually ring true for a demon, unlike the mundanely normal humans that get branded as witches. But the thing is, devil worship is a stretch, even for a demon. Especially when that demon had only sauntered vaguely downwards. And fornicating with the devil is just straight up disgusting. Crowley would fuck Beelzebub and all their flies before she touched Satan, if it ever came to that. Great, now she has that mental image to contend with, and a reason to pray, to no one in particular, that it never comes to that. Humans are the worst sometimes. She is almost relieved when the list finally ends, and egged on by the raucous encouragement of the village people, the executioner holds up his flaming torch with a flourish. "Any last words, witch?" he spits at her. Crowley draws herself up, fixing the portly man with a slitted gaze long enough to make him squirm. She had just opened her mouth to deliver a scathing remark when another voice booms out. "Stop this madness at once!" Immediately silencing the crowd, the voice is as imperious as it is anxious, and above all, most familiar to Crowley's ears. "Aziraphale?" It is him, indeed. Marching through the gathered villagers that part for him as the Red Sea parted for Moses. He approaches like a beacon, glowing even in the morning light, with his pale clothes and even paler hair, those soft blue eyes locked on Crowley.
"What are you doing here?"
Crowley hisses, more surprised than annoyed, as Aziraphale stops at the edge of the little pyre ringed with Oildor's wood. Aziraphale frowns at her.
"I could ask you the same."
"Who goes there?"
shouts the executioner, stepping forward in a manner that would seem intimidating to anyone that weren't of supernatural origin.
"Good sir,"
Aziraphale says stoutly, turning to him,
"free this lady immediately."
"This here is no lady,"
he sneers.
"We called ourselves a witch."
"I assure you,"
retorts the angel, unflappable,
"that is no witch."
There is an immediate uproar from the crowd, so loud behind him that Aziraphale winces slightly. The executioner joins in, waving his torch accusingly at Aziraphale as he yells.
Have you not seen what she's done? Do you not see her hellish eyes?
What has she done? Asks Aziraphale primly, staunchly ignoring the second question.
The cows, man! The cows!
Spittle flies from the man's mouth as he rages.
Flying and mooing and mooing and flying! This here is a degenerate, Satan-worshipping witch!
Aziraphale blinks rapidly, looking from the man to Crowley, who has been observing all this with befuddled amusement. What can I say? The cows couldn't be helped. Crowley shrugs, a feat considering her bound hands. The devil demanded they fly.
Crowley!
Aziraphale snaps, looking exasperated. The executioner is beside himself.
You see? She admits it. She has lain with the devil himself.
No, see here,
Aziraphale begins, while Crowley draws at the man.
Please, have you seen the devil? I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole, though he is still a more desirable option than you.
Enough,
howls the man, looking mad with fury now.
Your sins have been laid bare, and your sentence decided. You will burn, witch.
He lays the torch to the wood.
No, she will not.
The flame disappears, leaving the torch smoking and singed. There is a collective gasp from around them. The executioner drops the torch and whirls to face Aziraphale, pointing a shaking finger.
You did that! You're in cahoots with her! A witch! He is a witch!
Oh, blessed heavens! Crowley rolls her eyes as the villagers shout and turn on Aziraphale, aiming their pitchforks at him. This has gone on too long, and Crowley prepares to stop time, only slightly irritated that she now has to adjust her escape plans to save Aziraphale as well. Before anyone can do anything, however,
you will find I am of more divine persuasion than that.
Crowley's jaw drops as wings, blindingly bright and majestic, erupt from Aziraphale's back, flaring out to show off the full length of their span. The tone of the shouting and screams immediately changed, and within seconds there is no one shy of 10 feet from Aziraphale, the villagers scrambling to back away from him. Among them is the executioner, who can only gape with bulging eyes.
This lady is to go free. Do I make myself clear?
Aziraphale's voice is strong and authoritative, brooking no argument as he stares down the executioner, wings glowing and aloft. Crowley feels a shiver dance down her spine, a spark of something igniting in her gut. It takes a moment for the terrified man to find his voice. Trembling, he drops to his knees and clasps his hands.
Oh, forgive us, our lord! We did not know this was a divine command unto us.
Actually,
mumbles Aziraphale, his previous image shattering at once.
Just get on with the danger,
Crowley hisses.
Right,
says Aziraphale, still looking nonplussed. Clearing his throat, he hurries up onto the platform and rounds Crowley to cut her free of the bindings. His wings are still out.
Well, this is a thing, Crowley says dryly, rubbing at her chafed wrists.
Will you just hush up and play along? I try
in to rescue you. Crowley's legs are swept out from under her, and next moment she finds herself in Xerophane's arms. Her cheeks burn, even as she blinks in surprise, automatically placing her arms around Xerophane's neck. There is that little flutter of something in her gut again, and Crowley knows exactly what it is. Carrying Crowley as a man carries his wife to their marriage bed, Xerophane walks to the front of the platform. The gaggle of humans watch them in utter silence, a mixture of awe, horror, and disbelief on their faces. Xerophane clears his throat. Lowering his voice so that only Crowley can hear, he murmurs,
"It seems rude to simply leave without saying something after all that."
"Just get on with it, Angel," Crowley repeats with a great deal more softness this time.
Right. I should just... yes.
With a sweeping flap of his large wings, Xerophane takes to the air, Crowley cradled close to his body. The pyre and the small village drop away from them, soon disappearing from view as the vast expanse of the green countryside whips by in a blur. Crowley sees none of it, however, her eyes instead locked on Xerophane's face, inches from her own, as the angel flies them to whatever destination he has in mind. Xerophane meets her unblinking eyes and positively blushes, his cheeks reddening to a lovely glow. Crowley can't even pretend she is not stupidly endeared by it.
"Are you all right, my dear?" Xerophane asks, clearing his throat again. "That was quite a close call just now."
Crowley chuckles low in her throat. "Sure, Angel."
"What?"
"I mean, you do realize none of that drama was needed." Xerophane blinks at her, appearing genuinely confused.
"What do you mean? They were about to burn you. You would have been discorporated."
"I would have escaped."
"How?"
demands Xerophane, beginning to look annoyed.
"That unpleasant little man was seconds away from..."
"I'm a demon. I have powers," Crowley says with somewhat exaggerated patience. Seeing the angel about to argue, she adds, "I would have stopped time and got away before they set the fire, and then tinker with their minds a bit to make them think they were successful. No one would have been the wiser."
"Oh,"
Xerophane trails off, his brows furrowed.
"So everything I did to save you was pointless."
The angel looks most put out and, oh yes, that is definitely a pout. "I didn't say that," Crowley assures quickly. When Xerophane continues to frown, Crowley smiles, tightening her arms around him. "You were a most dashing hero, bossing about that idiot."
"Really?"
Somehow Xerophane manages to look terribly pleased and mortified at once. Crowley leans her head on his shoulder. "I thought I was about to swoon."
"You did not,"
Xerophane says, his face red. "All right, maybe not. But I am glad women hadn't started wearing drawers yet, 'cause if I'd been, they'd be utterly soaked and ruined." Xerophane almost drops her in mid-air.
"Oh, Crowley!"
Laughing again, Crowley snuggles against him.
The truth is the truth, Angel. Still blushing and at a loss for words, Aziraphale begins to descend at last, landing on a deserted dirt road that cut across miles of open fields. He carefully puts Crowley down, but the demon doesn't draw away, leaving her arms around Aziraphale's neck. All done saving me, then.
Don't make fun of me.
I'm really not, Crowley says. Tucking a stray curl of hair behind her ear, she gives Aziraphale a sultry look. How shall I thank my rescuer? Aziraphale looks at her earnestly.
It would probably cause a stir in head office if they found out an entire village saw an angel. I mean, that hasn't been done since the time of the prophets.
Trailing off, he looks at her meaningfully with hopeful eyes. Crowley almost smacks her forehead, torn between amusement and exasperation. Not exactly what I meant, but sure thing. My treat. She snaps her fingers. There. They've all forgot about this morning.
Oh, thank you, sighs Aziraphale, looking relieved.
I was trying to thank you, she mutters.
How do you mean?
Crowley presses up against Aziraphale, grinning when the angel widens his eyes but places his hands on her waist. With a hum, she drags her palm down over Aziraphale's chest and stomach to rest on his breeches. Oh, I can think of a few ways.
The end.